Coal Investment Group and its staff. Coal Investment Group is a registered investment advisor. Call 262-522-4040.
Welcome to the Retirement Clinic with your host, Jeff Kowal from the Kowal Investment Group, the retirement specialists.
Good morning. Welcome. The Retirement Clinic is on WISN with the Kowal Investment Group, the retirement specialists. I'm Paul Kronforst. Today's hosts, plural, Joe Still and Aaron Spitzner back in the seats. Welcome back, Joe Still. Good morning.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be back.
Spitz, Aaron Spitzner is here.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be here.
Good to see you guys both in studio. We do have a lot coming up, right? The business owner segment, the boss segment, we call it. In the second half of the show, wealth management and preservation. We dedicate each week a segment to that. The rest of the show is about what you guys do, and that's retirement. Does that sum it up, Joe? Your niche, retirement.
That sums it up. If you have $750,000 or more in investable assets, we can help you put that plan together to ensure that you have a fruitful retirement and that you, we call it retire well. And we say this a lot, but I think we also put it on a billboard. We want you to outsource your stress to us.
I love that comment.
I do too. It says exactly what we do.
Money, investments, financial planning, taxes, anything in that area of life can be very stressful.
Correct.
For obvious reasons.
Very stressful. You know, it's kind of like me thinking about doing some electrical work around my house.
Do you think
I'm going to do some, the call it the trial and error to figure that out on my own? I don't think so.
I avoid those projects as well. Right. Hire the professional, especially electrical work. My goodness. Now, there are some handymen that listen and do their own stuff. Those guys are far and few between, I think, these days, right?
Yeah.
But you seem like a handyman kind of guy.
I give it a shot.
Have a tractor.
I struggle with the electrical work, though. My father's an electrician. I still struggle. I don't know how many times he tells it to me. It just doesn't register.
Your dad's here. We are talking about
it. It doesn't register in my head.
So you grew up with your dad as an electrician?
Yes, and I still struggle with it. But again, certain things resonate with people. Other things don't, and that's one of them. And financial planning as well. Some people look at this stuff, and they don't want to try to understand it. They don't understand it. Other people, they find it it's a hobby of theirs. They enjoy it. They enjoy investing in the markets and reading about all this stuff. Like you said, similar with different trades.
But your niche, again, it's retirement planning. And we get deep in the weeds sometimes, right? There's all these rule changes every year with IRA contributions. That's one of our topics today.
Yep.
Joe, you're going to, after the first break, you have a great topic.
Yes, the 5 worst retirement mistakes to avoid at all cost.
At all costs.
At all costs.
Do not make these mistakes.
I might be dramatizing that a bit, but
for effect.
Definitely, we're going to be talking about some major mistakes that, in all honesty, we see all the time with people maybe not planning, people making mistakes with not contributing to, the retirement plans that are available to them early enough, or I call it often enough.
I would say, is there enough money in my account that I can retire? Do I have enough? And then when? When to retire? I mean, there's so many factors that come into play. Social Security, right? Healthcare coverage, Medicare 65 kicks in. You guys go over everything down to the detail with your clients. I know you do cash flow analysis. That's kind of sums up in general what we talk about on the show, but again, we get into topics. So Aaron Spitzner is going to lead us off today.
That's right. And I was going to start with FDIC insurance coverage because the question came up this week, but I'll save that one for a little later on if I have time. But I'm going to start here with 5 little known rules about IRA contributions, not IRAs alone, just IRA contributions. There are 5 areas that come up a lot during our meetings with clients, so I thought it would be appropriate to present them on the air here. So the first one, I'll go through them all here. We have the backdoor Roth IRA, the spousal IRA, the IRA versus Roth contributions, and the 529 to Roth, and lastly, children contributing to IRAs. So the backdoor Roth IRA, this we've talked about on air before. This is a mechanism, again, called the backdoor Roth IRA, which has really been a loophole since 2010. The basic idea here is that there are income limits. And if you're above a certain income level, you cannot contribute to a Roth IRA. The backdoor Roth IRA allows people of any income level, as long as you've got earned income to cover the contribution amount, you can make a Roth IRA contribution indirectly. So that's the key word, indirectly. The idea is that you're contributing to a traditional IRA. It's a non-deductible IRA contribution because your income is too high. There are no income limits there, so you're fine putting money in. And then you're converting those funds once you've made the contribution to a Roth. Okay, so a non-deductible IRA contribution, and then you're converting it over to a Roth. So this little loophole gives people of any income level the opportunity to contribute to a Roth IRA. That this came up this past week with a client, high earners doing a great job saving and just looking for a way to put some more money away. They're maxing out their 401k. They have money in the bank. Wanted to know what else they could do, and we were looking into the backdoor Roth IRA. So it was something they haven't heard about before. So I figured I might as well bring it up on the air because I have a feeling a lot of people aren't familiar with it. Again, just another way to put money into an account and never pay tax on it again.
One key to point out there is if you have to be careful. If you have an existing IRA, like a rollover IRA, you will have to pay the tax on the whole thing. The IRS looks at each individual as basically one pot of IRA money. And so you really can accomplish this if you have a big amount sitting in, say, a rollover IRA that, you know, you left an employer, you rolled that money out. To do the back door, if you did that, you'd have to pay tax on your whole IRA as far as the percentage. So if you had $100,000 sitting in an existing rollover IRA and then you were trying to do a backdoor, you know, contribution of $10,000, you'd have to pay tax on, you know, basically 90% of that conversion.
That's a costly mistake. I mean, unless you're a certified financial planner like people like you.
Correct.
How do you know?
So just be careful. Yeah, just be careful. It's a great way to get money into a Roth IRA if you are over the income limits on being able to contribute. But I just wanted to point that out. That's why you call a professional, because you could make that big mistake and do these backdoor Roths and then not pay the appropriate amount of taxes that you're supposed to pay.
Yeah, there's no just check this box for a backdoor conversion. I mean, it requires a lot more to complete that. But wanted to bring that one up. The other one is a spousal IRA. Again, another thing that got brought up within the past week, there is something called a spousal IRA that allows the earning partner to make contributions on both partners' behalf or even just the non-earning partner's behalf. So the earning partner needs to have enough earned income to cover the contribution amounts that are being made for the household. And of course, you're subject to the individual contribution limits that apply each calendar year. This year, it's $7,000 if you're under 50, $8,000 if you're over 50. But it's a great idea where maybe you've got one partner who is the main child caregiver in the family but not earning an income. It's a great way to keep retirement funding going for that person while he or she is out of the paid workforce. So again, I have a couple in the office. You have one person who is the primary earner, has a 401k. The other person staying home with the kids, raising the family, doesn't have any income coming in. And it's a way to build their retirement account while they're out of the paid workforce. The third one here. So look at this. We've already made it to number three.
You do.
On number two. People overlook that all the time. They just don't think, you know, you can contribute if you don't have earned income. But as Aaron pointed out, that's not the case. You can make a spousal contribution as long as your spouse is earning over the contribution amount in income.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that either. I would assume that you could not.
The next one here isn't really a trick or anything like that, all right? It's just more, we get this question a lot too, for younger savers primarily, where should they put their money, an IRA or a Roth IRA? Well, you can split your contribution between the two types of IRAs. You really don't have to choose. So if you think your tax bracket will be higher in retirement, you're better off selecting Roth today because you're paying taxes at a relatively low rate.
You pay right now,
Yeah, you're paying at a lower rate than what you expect in the future. But of course, if the future is 30 to 40 years away, it's really hard to predict that.
Like, I'll worry about that at the time.
Yeah. But if you're expecting that your income tax bracket will drop in retirement, you're better off taking the deduction today, assuming you'd qualify to make a deduction. So that's the fork in the road. And a lot of people say, I have no idea, especially if you're 30 to 40 years from retirement. They have no idea if it should be the Roth or if we should put this in pre-tax. So splitting the difference, I think, is a perfectly legitimate way to go. Maybe you're earning a little bit of a tax break by making the traditional deductible contribution, but then you're getting the rest of it over to a Roth and you'll never have to pay tax on it again. So just being aware that you can split the contribution. And I often tell people that with their 401k as well. It's not just their IRA contributions, but if it's somebody younger that's saving, hey, should I go Roth or not? I typically say, you know, at a certain point, so maybe really early on, if you're in your early 20s, and your income is still going up, but you're in a lower tax bracket, put it all in the Roth. But then as you get a little bit further along in your career, it may make sense to split those contributions. And then later on, maybe you're going all into the pre-tax option. So
there are many ways to save for my retirement. Many people think automatically my 401k plan, I get offered it, they match, we should do that, right? But you can also have an IRA. You said you can have several IRAs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can have that outside of your work 401k plan, but now your income is going to determine how much.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. You can put in, or if you're eligible to put in, or if it's going to be deductible or non-deductible. So, again, like you talked about earlier, a lot of rules to follow and be aware of.
There are so many tools in the toolbox.
Yeah, and knowing what applies to you best, that's why you have to rely on a professional like us, because this is something we deal with all the time. And as I mentioned, I mean, this is stuff that I saw multiple times last week. This is another question, 529 to Roth. Again, talking about five little known rules about IRA contributions. 529 to Roth, I had a client in talking about a 529 plan. Well, what if we don't use it all? What if we don't use the 529? Or what if the kid gets a scholarship? Or what if they don't go to school? That's all are a possibility, but there's a new rule that has come out from the Secure Act 2.0, which allows people with an overfunded 529 really to move that excess to a Roth IRA. So it really helps jumpstart the child's retirement savings. But there's a few, of course, there are rules here. You can't just move the whole 529, the whole 529 to a Roth IRA. It is subject to annual IRA contribution limits. So you can move right now, what is it, about $7,000 a year over to that Roth IRA up until you hit that threshold of $35,000. That's the lifetime amount at this point. So just a nice thing to know that if you have that 529, or if you're saving in a 529 and you're worried that, hey, you know, they're not going to use all the money, well, there is an out, and it actually benefits the child as they're able to put into their retirement savings. And now number five, last but not least, children can contribute to traditional or to IRAs.
Meaning under 18, minors?
Yeah, and this is one I also get from time to time is, hey, we want to set up an account, whether it be a grandchild or a child, and they're under the age of 18. What's the best option? Can they open up an IRA? Well, they can, but they need to have earned income. So if your kid's like 6 years old.
How does little Tommy at age four have earned income?
Well, that might raise some eyebrows with the IRS.
Red flag or two.
I mean, I think that if like parents have a business, that the kid actually has to show that they're doing work there and get probably a W-2 or something to that effect in order to make that contribution. But yeah, kids can contribute to an IRA. The example used here is that, you know, a kid coming home from college, and I mean, obviously in college, then they'd be over the age of 18, but they're making some money. Maybe they're spending that money as well. So what some parents do is they'll say, hey, we'll match whatever you make and put that into an IRA on your behalf.
That'd be a nice thing to do as a mom and dad, right?
Yeah, I mean,
did you guys have a job in high school when you were in high school?
Oh, many different kind of crazy job. Yeah. That could be a whole radio show in itself, all the weird things Aaron did.
Spitz's job, it's jobs, plural, in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, did you work in high school?
I started working. I had a paper route as a little guy.
That's a job.
I want to say fifth, sixth, seventh grade.
Oh, man.
Which I think back on that, and I was responsible. They would just drop papers off at my house. And then I was responsible.
This is back when people actually read newspapers.
Yes, and I was responsible for paying my bill at the end of each month. Like,
oh, really?
I had to go collect the money, and I had to do it. And I laughed today because that would not fly today.
I don't think it would.
And so, yeah, I loved it. It was great. I made a lot of money. You know, it was work. You know, I had some friends that their parents would end up driving them around to deliver the papers.
And that was not
that
with
was
you.
Not the case.
Did
with
you
me.
Walk
my,
or bike?
I biked, and you know, Sundays were, ooh, I had probably 75 homes.
Milwaukee Journal we're talking about here?
I grew up in Michigan, but yes.
Oh, that's right.
So similar.
That's right.
To, you know, Sundays, all the ads were in the paper, right? And the papers were, you know, three inches thick.
They were heavy.
And I had to do multiple trips that day. I eventually, with the money I made, I bought a scooter, a Spree. Remember the Honda Spree?
I had one in college.
Yes.
Mid
I bought
to late
one
80s,
of those.
UW Oshkosh.
And that was a big deal.
That was me. Those are cool. Yeah. There's nothing wrong. I think I paid $125 for it. I drove it in winter.
The beauty of that was in Michigan, I had a license for it, and it looked exactly the same as the driver's license. And so I would go golfing, and I'd get to drive a golf cart because I'd show that, and people thought I had a driver's license.
That's awesome. Yeah.
See, little side note.
I love these stories. I, too, worked as a teenager. Now, could earn income, right? As long as, it's legit. You could contribute, right?
Instead of buying the
Spree.
Spree.
Honda Spree.
You could have started a Roth IRA or traditional IRA, but
I mean,
where's the Honda Spree now? You would have had
some landfill.
Yeah. Whereas the IRA could have been worth.
Mine was taken back to a dealer. I won't mention which one, but there's a dumpster outside. And several days after, I saw the taillights and the license plate sticking out of the dumpster. They just threw the whole Spree in the dumpster. And that served me well. I got at least 7 or 8 years out of that scooter. I drove that thing everywhere. So it's good. You know, you grew up with a work ethic. If a teen works right now, good for them. A lot of them want to spend it. Mom and dad might say, that's your spending money.
Yeah.
If you go out, that's your gas money. If you're 16 or older, well, you can save it. That's another option.
Yeah, or like I said, if the parent has the ability to match it and start putting money away for them in the retirement account, and, you know, the IRS doesn't care where the money came from. They just care that you have that earned income to show, to be eligible to make that contribution.
So the parents can contribute. Could the grandparents?
Yeah, they don't care where the money's from. Okay. It's just, again, they just have to show that they have the earned income. So
yeah, and that's a great way for grandparents to, you know, parents or grandparents to teach your children good saving fundamentals by creating an appropriate incentive to say, hey, if you save, let's say you know, from your current job, if you save 10%, I'll match that, you know.
Giddy up. Absolutely. That's a good deal. And then you see the balance go up. Little Johnny's now learning.
Right.
What it's all about to save.
Now when they finish college, or if they don't go to college and they get a job, now they already have those fundamentals set up to, ooh, I have to save, you know, a certain percentage of my income, especially with the employer plans where they're doing the same thing. They're matching, you know, up to a certain percentage of your contribution.
Did we cover all five contributions?
Yeah, we got all five. So
I didn't want to jump in. We got off with the teenage job thing. But
yeah, you got the backdoor Roth, spousal IRA, the IRA versus Roth, splitting the contribution if you have no idea where your tax bracket's going to be, 529 to a Roth IRA, and then children contributing to IRAs. So
we do have a boss segment coming up right after this commercial break, business owners savings and security. So that's a short segment on business. Then Mr. Still, Joe Still in studio with the Kowal Investment Group, the five worst retirement mistakes to
avoid at all costs.
At all costs.
A little dramatic there, but you know, a good point that you can make a mistake that will throw, you know, your whole retirement plan off. And that's what we help our clients avoid.
Well, and those are costly mistakes. Like you said, if it throws off my plan, maybe I wanted to retire in the next couple of years. Now I can't. That thing. I've heard stories of people going back to work because they retired too early, right? We thought we could have enough cash flow, and it's not.
Sorry, so. Miscalculation.
That's right.
I have to go back to work.
That would, unless you want to, for social reasons. You know, the greeter at Walmart story, that whole thing. Outside of that, that would really stink. To have a mindset like, I'm done, I'm retiring, and 6 months later, this is not working out.
That would not be good.
So avoid those things. Well, you got good advice coming up, Joe Still. For questions, we send you right to the Kowal Investment Group. That number is 262-522-4040 or thekowalway.com. In fact, in March, this is our first retirement clinic in March. The Kowal Investment Group putting in a lot of different events. Please check the events tab at thekowalway.com. thekowalway.com for more information. And of course, locations in Waukesha, Port Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, Cape Coral, Florida, Racine, Delafield, downtown Delafield. And I think news on a location, the cat's out of the bag, Jeff mentioned this, is coming up very soon in future shows. You can confirm that, right?
Yes.
That's all I'll say.
We'll just leave it at that.
But cool news, right? On another
very
location.
Very exciting news.
Yeah, and we'll unveil that in the next, I think, couple of weeks. So Jeff alluded to that a few weeks ago on the retirement clinic. Also, Monday through Friday, you guys do the market updates during the Mark Belling Show, 3 and 5 p.m. news blocks with those daily reports on stock market activities. So let's break. We'll come back. News Talk 1130 WISN, the retirement clinic. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Retirement Clinic on WISN. I'm Aaron Kowal with the Boss Minute, business owners, savings, and security. It's about owning your retirement, not just your business.
Have you considered forming a trust for your business? You may be asking yourself, why would my business need a trust? The purpose of a trust is to manage assets on behalf of businesses so that the company can continue to run in your absence. It has a variety of legal uses that help business owners and their beneficiaries preserve and grow their wealth. Not forming a trust for your business could put the company at risk. For example, one of the biggest issues many people do not realize is that often money from a business will be used to resolve the debts of an owner's private affairs. Even if you do not think your business will need protection from creditors, circumstances do change, and it is always a good idea to set up protection. Other benefits of forming a trust for your business are that it can minimize taxes and avoid pitfalls that can ensue when there is no estate plan in place. There are several types of trusts that can be formed for your business, such as life insurance trusts, charitable trusts, and living trusts. Not everyone will need the same type of trust, and needs vary based on each person's circumstances. Before you choose a trust, make sure to look at all of your options and choose the one that best benefits your business and the future of your business. A trusted team of professionals will be able to help guide you through this process. If you need help getting started, give our office a call at 262-522-4040.
Back with the retirement clinic, Joe Still is here. Aaron Spitzner from the Kowal Investment Group, the retirement specialist. I'm Paul Kronforst. At this point of the show, oh, by the way, the boss segment, you just heard it. Emphasize, you work with business owners as well on their retirement plan, Joe, and that's why we do the boss segment.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of times business owners have the majority of their assets tied up in their business, which makes all the sense in the world. This is what they do. This is what they know. And sometimes the retirement planning takes, a sidestep to, running their business. And we help them put that plan together to ensure that they have a plan, if whether they're exiting their business or not, and expecting a large, sum of money to come in. What do they do with that money? What are the options for them? If they're not necessarily at retirement yet, but they're expanding and they want to understand what are their options from a company perspective. How do I set up retirement accounts for my employees? What are my options there, and what are the most tax efficient options? So we can help business owners get answers to those questions and put a really nice plan together.
And off air, any questions? I mentioned this before the break. There's locations all over Southeast Wisconsin and other states. TheKowalWay.com for the events. And then March is busy. A lot of good events coming up in March. Check that website out. Joe, I've been waiting for this topic. We learn from mistakes, right? You've got the five worst retirement mistakes to avoid at all costs.
Yes, this comes from an article at smartasset.com written by Mark Henricks. And he brings up some great points. There's going to be nothing earth-shattering here. These are all items we've already talked about.
Kind of common sense, but don't we need a reminder every now and then?
We do. And I wanted to start by quoting a couple statistics that the author quotes in the article from a 2022 EBRI survey, and that's Employee Benefit Research Institute did a survey in 2022, and they found that 10% of retirees live in poverty. 10%. I thought that number was pretty high.
Higher than you thought.
Higher than I thought.
Yeah. Poverty. What is defined as poverty? I mean,
I don't know exactly how they define that, but I think it's on an income basis of what income you have coming in.
Which is probably not enough to.
Right. Which is probably, $20,000, $30,000 a year, $40,000, somewhere in that ballpark that aren't enough to keep up with the cost. But the reason it's sad
when you think about it.
It is. It's very sad. And the reason I bring that up is because, we don't want you to be part of that 10%. And how do you avoid being part of that 10%? Well, there's some things you do to start. And the first one they talk about is failing to plan, which actually my dad taught me. Failing to plan is planning to fail. And that is what you do not want to do approaching retirement. You don't just want to wing it. This is your livelihood. This is the time of your life where you get to choose what you want to do. And
but that plan can start when you're 60, right? Shouldn't it start early in life?
Yes. The earlier you can start, the better. And we talk about that a lot. When you're getting that first job, stick a certain percentage away. And we say, your goal would be, somewhere between 15 to 20% of your income. If you can't get there to start, that's okay. 5% of your income or 6% or 10%, whatever it is, something.
Right.
But another survey. So how do you put that plan together? Part of this EBRI survey also found that there were lower senses of well-being and satisfaction from those retirees that did not work with a financial advisor. And that's where, I read that and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, because if you're working with a professional, you're going to put a plan together that takes into account worst case scenario, and that checks all the boxes, as Aaron talked about before, all of those things to consider. When do I start contributing to an IRA? Do I contribute to a Roth? Things like that. Do I take advantage of my retirement plan at work? All of those decisions are part of that planning process. And if you're working with a professional, you can ensure that you'll cover all of those very important areas.
And if you do screw up and don't start right at age, whatever it is, 22, right out of college at first job, some people do pass on the 401k, which I don't get, especially if there's a match, the free money. You can do a catch-up. There's provisions, right, to catch up, but
yes,
you would be best off starting early.
Yes, it will make a massive difference, the earlier you start. We've talked about that in previous shows, the power of compounding interest over the years.
Just it's one year makes a huge difference.
Right, right. And we talked a little earlier, too, about, we've helped thousands of clients go through this process and put a really good plan together, and then we stress test that plan for them. And then again, as we said earlier, we are checklist oriented. We go through all of those items that could throw a big wrench in your retirement plans. Why do the trial and error yourself? As Aaron mentioned earlier, you can do it yourself. If you have the time, if you have the knowledge, and as we'll get into one of our next ones, if you can separate your emotions from making financial decisions, you can do it. But what if you make a mistake that is catastrophic to your plan?
And then there's the thing, Joe, yeah, I can do it, but will it be as good as a professional helping me? When I mean that, I'm just, maybe I can do better. Return on investment.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. And do you want to do that in retirement? You just got done working your whole career.
No, I want to hang out with my new grandson, and I want to play drums and golf and do all that crap.
Right. Yep. So if you have questions, if you haven't put a plan together, no matter where you are, 262-522-4040, talk to one of our fiduciary advisors. We will help you put that plan together.
Even if it's later in life, like you said, 40s or 50s, get started. You say it's never too late. Maybe for your 65, it might be too late.
Right.
that's pretty late in the game.
So number two, I'll go through these next two a little faster. That one I wanted to talk about and spend some time on because it's so important to put a plan together. Number two is mismanaging tax advantage retirement plans. Aaron talked about knowing the rules of those plans, and that's important. Contributing early and taking advantage of your work retirement plan as early as you can. And does it make sense for me to do a Roth contribution, or should I do a pre-tax contribution? You know, again, we'll help you make those decisions. The other thing that people make a mistake on as far as tax advantage retirement plans is early withdrawals. Oh, I don't have a whole lot in there. I'll just take it out and pay the 10% penalty. Don't do that. Again, even if it's you start off and, you know, we all have ups and downs in work, our work lives, and you change jobs, keep that money in that tax advantage plan because that's going to continue to grow and grow and grow. Do not pull that out if you don't have to.
You're right. Life happens. I remember once, I forget what it was. I took a little bit out. I borrowed from my 401k plan. You highly advise against that, right?
Yes. Now, there may be certain... I borrowed against my plan when I bought a house.
Yes.
But, I mean, I knew I would be able to pay that back relatively quickly.
And you do have to.
It is a good option for a short-term borrowing. Again, consult a professional and look at all the pros and cons.
Right. There might be better ways to get the money, right? Other ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it is possible. It's just you got to be very careful.
Correct. So, you know, that's a huge mistake is not taking advantage of those tax advantage retirement plans or mismanaging them. The next one we talk about all the time with clients is they call it in the article messing up Social Security. So again, that's why you consult a professional because it's very confusing. When should I start taking it? My question back to you would be just tell me when you're going to die and I'll tell you when to start taking Social Security.
And my answer is I don't know. Right. I'm going to die. How can you say that? So then it comes down to, can you really screw this up? You can, right, Joe?
Right. Are you single? Are you married? Did your spouse qualify for Social Security? Is your spouse's benefit, you know, less or greater than yours? When do you plan to retire? How early, you know, or how young do you plan to retire?
Let's go over the facts when I can start taking Social Security. It's 62, right?
62, unless... you're a widow and then you can actually, or you're disabled, you can start taking on Social Security sooner rather than 62. But again, there's a lot of questions that are there. You know, when do I start taking it? Well, you know, I'm going to give the answer that we all give. It depends.
Right. Cause
it
every
depends
year
on
you
your
wait,
situation.
If I wait till 63 or 64, that amount goes up, right?
Right. You know, if you need the money, I would tend to say take it as early as you can, especially if you want to leave some inheritance, some money to your heirs. Because if the alternative is, well, I'm just going to take the money out of my retirement accounts, well, then I would say, hey, look at this. This is your money that was taken out of your paycheck. That is part of your income in retirement.
Yeah.
That's a bucket.
I don't feel guilty about it.
Right.
Just look at your paycheck stub.
Right.
And all the years you've been paying Social Security. Yeah, I could see we can mess that up. Consult with a professional.
Right. Yeah. So the next one is one that hits home for me because I go over this a lot. And we educate our clients on this one. And it is emotionally investing and letting your emotions drive your investing decisions. And this is one that we go over, especially when things get volatile. It is really hard. And Aaron would say it. I think he would agree with me. when you're in a free fall, when the markets are in a free fall, it's emotional because that's your life savings. But that's why you hire a professional. A professional can separate those emotions from making good decisions. And the professional is making decisions based on, you know, the years of experience and based on the fundamentals of investing that we've learned, you know, over the last 100 years. And, you know, the key is having a strategy, having a plan, having an investment strategy for your money, setting it up appropriately for the right asset allocation to take the right amount of risk based on your age, your time horizon, your tolerance for risk, because there is an emotional aspect of risk. You know,
a lot of emotions involved. It's like telling me not to get emotional during a Packer game.
Right.
I cannot not be emotional. It's going to happen.
Right.
That's a Packer game. Different than my retirement account.
Yes. Emotions. You said it perfect. Emotions are going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
We just have to be careful that we're not making our decisions.
That they're driven by the emotion.
Driven by the emotion.
Yeah, right. That can be a big blunder.
But that's where, again, that's where planning comes in place. And that's why it is so important. And it is such a big failure not to plan. Because, you know, if we go back to 2020, where we saw the market fall over 40% in 21 trading days, I had clients that had just retired in January, and I took them right back to that plan that we put together and said, we've already prepared for this. We have already gone through this scenario, and you don't have to change your lifestyle. Huh? We've already planned
That's
for the
good.
Market to go
That's
down.
That's great news.
Percent. We don't have to change your lifestyle. You don't have to go back to work and go, you know, be a Walmart greeter if you don't want to.
If you don't want to, that's the key.
The other key there is to stay invested during those tough times. And that's where it's tough from an emotional perspective, because your initial instincts are, okay, I'm going to pull this money back and pull it out and protect it.
Yeah.
And most of the time, that's when the market is the most volatile, when you want to do that. And that is the worst time. A lot of times that's right at the bottom.
Timing the market.
That is the worst time to pull the
money
out.
And then when you get back in, what do we say? It's like making the same mistake twice. You mistimed it twice, right?
Right.
The first time and the second time.
If you're gonna pull the money out, you have to pull it out at the right time and then put it back in at the right time.
We covered all five, right, Joe? At all costs.
We covered four, but the last one is plan. Okay. So that was reiterating that first one.
Plan to fail.
Yep. The failure to plan is planning to fail. And we don't want to do that.
Having a retirement plan, but doing it the right way, and so many factors, Social Security is just one of them, but when do you start taking it? All of this stuff is what they do at the Kowal Investment Group. We're going to come back after the break, and with Aaron Spitzner and Joel Still, we've got the weekly wealth management and preservation segment. Call 262-522-4040. A lot of events coming up in March. There's that events tab, thekowalway.com, for more info. We'll be right back. Back with this week's retirement clinic, and it's time for the wealth management and preservation segment. Both Joe Still and Aaron Spitzner have some good things. In fact, Joe's got some of his favorite retirement quotes coming up. Hey, Spitz, you alluded to the FDIC stuff.
Yeah, and I thought it'd be appropriate to bring up here. I had a couple in last week that was talking about some cash that they had in the bank and that they were going to deposit some funds at another bank. And I had asked them why, if it was they didn't like the bank or whatever. Well, they were worried about FDIC coverage. So I went back to my days of working at a bank and brought up a calculator that the FDIC provides on their website. It's Ask Edie, E-D-I-E, if you want to Google it. And what I did then is I punched in their bank and also showed them that they can get $1 million in coverage pretty easily, FDIC insured coverage, by just structuring their accounts the right way. So what I showed was that if they have one joint account with, let's say, a husband's the owner, the spouse is then the secondary owner, okay, you get $250,000 in coverage. You flip that, you get another $250,000 in coverage. So you have two joint accounts. You just flip the owners. The next way is you each have your own individual account. So then you will, and then add the other as a beneficiary. You have another $500,000 in coverage. So again, two joint accounts, just flip the titling there. And then also individual accounts, you you have you each have your own individual with the other named as beneficiary, and right away there you get $1 million in coverage. So I went through it pretty quick, but just wanted to let everybody know you can extend your coverage at your bank. It's important to ask your personal banker as well. They had mentioned that this was not brought up to them, but so I think I saved that bank some money by letting them know that they can keep all their deposits at one bank and remain covered. And again, if you want to go through this on your own just to get verification, there is a calculator out there. Again, that's Ask Edie. It's EDIE, and it's on the FDIC website.
And just the acronym we should remind people, because growing up, I heard at the end of every commercial, FDIC insured. Disclaimer.
And it's become more popular lately because banks have failed. Especially, what was that, was that 2 years ago now, or just last year? We had a couple banks fail.
The
insurance, it matters.
Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. Good stuff.
And I think you can even extend it further with a trust and having certain types of beneficiaries. I don't want to get into all that today. Just wanted to keep it basic with how to get $1 million in coverage with a couple.
And now Joe Still with his favorite retirement quotes. You've got quotes you like.
Yes, I found a couple of these that I really liked. And again, I think they align well with what we do with our clients on a daily basis. And the first one is from an unknown source. And the quote goes, "Retirement is the only time in your life when time no longer equals money." And I love that because we talk a lot about that. And that's the commodity in retirement is time. And, you know, if you're thinking about retirement or you're close to that and you don't have a plan, you know, call our office 262-522-4040. We want to put that plan together so you can retire now and potentially increase the time. I said this to a client this morning, who recently retired. I've never had a client come in and say, "I wish I would have worked longer."
Oh, I like that. That makes you feel a little bit better, right?
Yep.
Because that's a hard decision when to retire. Even if you're ready financially, it's a change of life. So, okay. Yeah. Other quotes?
So the last one's a little bit longer. This is from Jack Canfield, and it goes, "Living each day as if it were your last day doesn't mean your last day of retirement on a remote island. It means to live fully, authentically, and spontaneously with nothing being held back." And I love that one. I recently read this in a devotional, daily devotional that I read, that said, live each day as if it was your last by thinking about what would you do if you knew it was your last day.
Oh, man.
You know, and I love that because, you know, we waste a lot of time doing, things that don't mean a lot to us. Think about that. So if you retire, spend time thinking about, okay, if this was my last day, what would I do?
That's a deep question, but a good one.
It is.
Joe Still, Aaron Spitzner, events coming up in March. We'll wrap up this week's edition of the Retirement Clinic with the Cowal Investment Group, the retirement specialist right here in WISN. We're going to wrap up this week's Retirement Clinic with final comments from Joe Still and Aaron Spitzner. We covered so much ground today, guys, of mistakes to avoid in retirement. And things like that. So if I want to reach out, Joe, the best way to call the Cowal Investment Group?
262-522-4040. We are there to help. Failing to plan is planning to fail. So if you don't have a plan, give us a call. We would love to help you.
We had several good quotes today. Aaron Spitzner, as always, thanks for your time today.
All right, thank you. It's great being here.
Have a good weekend. There's a lot of March events coming up at the Cowal Investment Group. They're on the website, so check it out right now, thecowalway.com, or call 262-522-4040. We're back next Saturday. We'll see you guys then on News Talk 1130 WISN Milwaukee.